Yo, 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 welcome to the Bros Who Think Podcast. My name is Lyndon Burton, a.k.a. the People's Champ, a.k.a. Young Boy D-Wits, a.k.a. Beard Gang is in the motherfucking building. And I'm here today with Jose Xavier. How you doing, my brother?
What's going on, man?
Not too much. Just chilling. We here in Swagger Studio. What's up, Swagger? How you doing, my brother?
What's happening, man? Everything's straight over here.
We just chilling. Well, this is episode 40, finally out of the third. No, actually, it's episode 41, finally out of the 30s. I've been waiting to get out of the 30s, but we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about an album you just released. I'm so excited. Well, by the time people hear this, it'll be out. But
yeah,
man, how was that? How was that whole process before we even get into the interview?
The process of working on it.
Yeah, just the process of finally having it like a legit album, 100% original music just out.
Man, that's great. It's really what I hope for. One thing, I was just sitting back thinking on last year, I was like, man, I don't have a solid catalog at all. And that's one thing I feel like every artist needs is a solid catalog. So, I had projects I released before, but it's like I was still
feeling it out.
It was like practice.
Yeah.
Practice, I look at it like that. But it's like now this is the first time I feel like I have something that I'm proud to put out.
Real.
So, it's a great feeling for sure.
That's what's up. Well, before we get into the interview, I always like to read a key from DJ Khaled's keys because we got to give the people the key of the week.
All right.
Without further ado, let me get my book. Hold on. I come with all my gear. So basically, I just opened to a random page and that's the key for the week.
I like that.
Book was upside down. All right. Life's not a game, but what we do is joyful. Making music is a pleasure and it's a blessing. I'm grateful that this thing I love so much can pay my bills. That's why you gotta stay positive. You can't approach someone already thinking they're gonna say no. They catch that negative vibe and it makes them feel like you're a negative person. Wake up each morning with the expect good things to happen, and no matter how dark your yesterday was, that's what it's meant to be. That life is what you make it. Make your life great. So that's a good key for the week, you know. Shout out to Khaled, always giving these great keys. But let's get into this, man. I want to know, before we even get into the album, I just want to know about your story. Talk about how you got into music, give us some of your influences, and just why do you rap?
I started music at, I always get the ages mixed up. It was either about 6 or 7 years old.
Really?
Started music at about 6 or 7 years old. Before that, I was just like a regular kid. I was always drawing. I remember that. I was drawing a lot. One of my big influences were Andre 3000 for sure. Outkast. I don't want to just say Andre. He's a solo act. Outkast. Lil Wayne was my biggest inspiration. There's videos on YouTube I can show you. With me, with the Lil Wayne flow, it was fucking bad. those were Lil Wayne. Who else was a big influence that helped me get into music? I want to say Wayne, man. It was really Wayne.
Wayne and Outkast. You said you got into music at 6 or 7. Were you writing, rapping, or was it just instruments?
I was writing, rapping. Yeah.
So you said you're a big Three Stacks fan. Did you watch Class of 3000?
I did.
Real?
I did.
That was a fire show. Yeah,
I did. That shit was amazing, man. Especially that fucking the intro.
Yeah.
Just the whole show, and then that was the first time I seen a rapper on a cartoon.
Brother, I think he still to this day might be the only rapper to ever have his own cartoon on Cartoon Network, for sure.
I was about to say Tyler.
Oh yeah, no, but that yeah, no, Tyler does. He does have a cartoon, but that's on Adult Swim. But that shit still count. That shit's fine. He has the jellies, and he had Lord of Squad, but that's not a cartoon.
Lord of Squad, Lord of Squad was on Adult Swim, but the jellies is on his own network. Yeah, he did.
Real,
I'm pretty sure he got some stuff with.
That's what's up. So Wayne is what you'd say Wayne is your biggest influence. You think that plays to just because we're from Louisiana?
No, you got to think about during that time. That definitely played a role, but that was an afterthought.
Real,
it was definitely the music first. But you got to think about, during that time, Wayne was the fucking biggest rapper. That's Lollipop.
That dude was a monster.
I still vividly remember, me sitting in the living room, looking at him, dancing on top of those cars.
Yep.
I actually went to, I saw Wayne in his peak, too, during the Carter 3 tour. I saw him in his peak. He was what was it? I forgot where it was, but it was in like Jackson, Mississippi, and it was like at a stadium. And I remember he did Lollipop. That was my first time seeing a rapper live too. That shit was great. And I remember like he did Lollipop, and like when he was like, call me so I can make a juice for you, like literally like girls throwing his phone, like their phones on stage and shit. Damn, I'm like, dog, this rap shit is lit. Like, I fuck with Wayne.
That's funny you said that, because I always go back to the fact that like men, as us as men, we do things 9 times out of 10 to impress a woman. And like, I understand you seeing that, like Wayne getting all these girls to do that. That's a good reason to be a rapper. I totally, like, that's relatable. Like,
that definitely played a role too. But I think it was just, I don't know, Wayne was what kind of introduced me to rap. So it was kind of like, that was my first time just seeing people put words together, and I'm like, something to identify with. Like 100%. Before that, it was probably, I was a weird kid, probably like listening like Disney Channel music or some shit. But I was real young, but.
But yeah, Wayne was the one who put it together.
Yeah, Wayne, yeah.
Before Wayne, we even dive into the music, I want to know, what do you think is the best car?
The best car? I don't have a best car, but I have a best style of cars, which is old school BMWs.
Oh, real? No, I mean, what do you think is the best Carter?
The best Carter. Carter 2 for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Carter 2.
What's your favorite mixtape by Wayne?
No Ceilings, because of the time period. Yep. I still remember like exactly where I was during that time.
Same. That's funny. Where let's get into it. Where were you when No Ceilings dropped?
I was in 5th grade, and I remember I had like a fucking studio in my room. It was like this tent I built, and I had like, it was like a computer mic. And I plugged it into like my little mini laptop, and I was like recording songs, and I was listening to that like every day and recording. I remember like we were doing like remixes of the same songs he was doing, like our takes on it.
Really?
Like,
that's what's up.
Yeah.
So music and just rap in general has just been in you for like a long time. This is something that you genuinely love.
Yeah, and it's weird because it's not like, I don't have no musical background in my family.
Really?
At all. So, I mean, I'm really the first one.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's all, it's a weird thing, kind of.
That's what's up. So, what was the first song you released? And when did you start releasing music?
The first song I released. Oh, shit. I'm trying to, it was a remix. The first song that I officially released was a remix, Workout by J. Cole.
That beat was hard.
It was in 7th grade. Yeah, that was the first song I ever released. I remember I put it on YouTube, and I was like, I got kicked out of McKinley Middle in 6th grade, so I was at Seaside Middle, and I remember I was new there. Like, it was a lot of girls there that liked me and shit, and it's like I put out the song, and it was like, oh my gosh, he raps too. It was like, it was a real big thing during that time.
That's what's up. So how do we get from that first workout song to Fade 001? How do we get from that first workout track to there? Not necessarily saying tell me step by step everything, but just give me a picture. Just paint a little picture of how we got from that song to now.
A lot of time as far as like just putting in time musically. Just time period, because I had time. Like, you need life experiences, you need references, so it's a lot of music inspires me that I hear today. So you need references, like, to pour from. Time, dedication, writing, it was a lot of writing, recording.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Are you big into writing? Because I know if you look at today's generation of hip-hop, if you look at the artists, most of them are freestyling. Most of them don't even care about what is being put on the paper. But I noticed, and we're going to get into this later, about the collective that you rap with and just the people you rap with, y'all care about lyrics. Y'all, 100%, I'm not even stunt. Y'all are some of the most lyrical rap coming out of Lafayette. Not Lafayette, coming out of Louisiana.
Yeah.
Like, y'all are some of the most lyrical rappers that we have out here that are our age doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
So why are lyrics so important to you, I guess, and do you write?
I do write, but, like, I have a weird relationship with writing now.
Okay.
Like, the reason why I say that, because it's... On one hand, it's like, when I write, I kind of feel conformed. Like, I kind of feel like, all right, you're rapping, so you have to write a rap versus like sometimes I just do free taste. Like a lot of times I'm in a voice memo.
Okay.
Like just putting out thoughts. Like I feel like free form, but then I still end up having to put it all on paper just to tie it all together. I care about lyrics a lot. I care about lyrics, but one thing that I'm real big on about lyrics, like I don't want to tell any story. Like I don't want to. It has to be exactly as it is. Like
okay, you don't want to fabricate anything. 100% true.
Yeah, 100% true. But even like in a way of just saying things exactly as they are.
Okay.
So it's not like. What's a good example? Like, if I'm not balling in the club, it's like how we went to the club all, and it's like
you're not gonna say like you balling. Yeah. Like you gonna tell it how it is, how it was in the club for you that night, like. 100% like no need to fabricate things. So I feel that. Yeah. And you said that you wanted with this tape, you wanted to solidify your catalog, and you wanted to make sure your catalog was strong. So let's just jump into the tape. So Phase 001. Why did you name the tape that? My brother coughing over there.
Oh shit! All right. So, the name Fade, shit, let me get myself.
Oh, yeah, collect yourself, my brother. In the meantime, I'm going to pay some bills. This podcast was brought to you by Legal Distribution, the Legal Distribution Company. Shout out to Birdie Jackson and Hustler's Vision. If you want to get some fire swag, you want to get the nicest clothes, go over to hustlersvision.com. Shout out to the Legal Distribution Company. Had to pay some bills, man. My brother needed to get some water, but we good. All right, man. Had to catch the vibe.
All right, but... All right, so with the title Fade One, so the whole concept of like the album is me taking all my life experience up until this point, and it's kind of like, is what if I was recording all of them, and I made like I put it all on this one video, but it's kind of like compiled footage.
Okay.
And that's why when you listen to the album, it tells a story, but it's not necessarily in order. It might go from me being young to...
being old.
Yeah, like shit like that, but it all goes.
Together. No, 100%. It reminded me of, I don't know if you've ever seen American Horror Story, how their anthology series, how every episode may not tie, like every episode can stand alone, but it comes together to tell an overall theme at the end. I definitely see that's how I related to this album. I saw it as each song not necessarily connected to the next song, but at the end of it, by the time you finish hearing it, you saw that complete movie.
You see it. Yeah.
No, 100%. Well, let's jump into the intro track with Faith, and that was prod by you. I didn't even know you did production until like I saw this track list. Like when you sent me the album, I didn't even realize that you helped produce the song with Swagger. And how did that happen? Just talk about that whole side of it, just the production side, before we even go into the lyrics.
Faith was probably like the second song that we did. Shift was definitely the first one, but Faith was the second. Well, the second song that I did myself. Okay. I probably didn't lay it down until Mad after. But shit, around that time I was listening to Frank Ocean Endless a lot. Oh, I was like, I love the production on that shit. I was like, I want to make a beat
similar to that
of
style.
That essence, yeah. So I was just in my room. I was also listening to Stevie Wonder. That's a Stevie Wonder sample, to Rocket Love. So I took a piece.
That's funny you say that, because now it's just, I'm hearing here. It. No, I'm
so
hearing
I
it.
So I took that part, you know that beginning part, that dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
100%. I took that part, reverse it, and after that, I was trying to write to it, but nothing was like really coming out writing. So I got on and I started just freestyling to it. I pulled up a track in my house and I started freestyling to it. So I had the lyrics for a while, but I didn't come over to lay it down at Swagger's crib until like mad long. But I remember I sent the beat to Earth did some more to it, and then when we finally was like finishing up and wrapping up the album, Swagger like put some additional production on it.
Okay, that's what's up. So just to stay on production before we go into the lyric side of it, now that I know that you produce your songs, how big is production to you? And do you like producing your songs? Because when you look at the track list, most of this is produced by Swag.
Yeah.
And how is it that you produce songs but you allow collaboration, I guess? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you prefer to produce songs, or do you prefer to, like, whoever got the hot beat, that's what I'm rocking with.
I don't like producing myself. Like, I got a weird relationship with producing. The only reason I don't like producing myself is I could produce some shit myself and then I listen to Swagger or I listen to fucking Ty. And I hear how hard that shit is, and I'm like, oh man, you fucking suck. Like, you might as well just rap on that shit.
Real.
Like, and that's what it is. But a lot of times, like, Swagger can attest to this. Like, I come to him with samples. Like, so even if I'm not necessarily producing,
you still executive producing.
I still have a hand in it.
So the ear is there.
Yeah, the ear.
Would you attest that going back to just you being 6 and 7 loving music? Has the ear always been there?
For sure. And one thing that played a big role in that too, I used to listen to like a lot of fucking different music around that time.
Okay.
One thing I used to always watch like every morning was MTV Jams.
Ooh.
Like, if you listen to the outro cycles, like, that sample is, shit, who is it from? The Hicks.
Oh, okay.
It's from the Hicks. And it's like, somebody wouldn't expect me to just be listening.
Yeah, to the Hicks. Like that. But I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah, music like that grabs me, and it's like, I feel like I could put my take on it.
100%. I think that's awesome, because now, just from hearing that, I know that you're not only lyrically, but just musically, your hands have been in this project. This is you 100%.
Like, for sure.
With other artists, you could see that, like, yeah, they're just concerned about the lyrics and they just trust their producers. And not that anything's wrong with that, but like with you, you're 100%, your hands are in this, your roots, this is you 1,000%.
For sure, for sure.
Well, let's get into the lyrics. Talk about just this song and why did you choose this one to be the intro, and just talk about the vibe and the songwriting process in this one.
Shit, during that time, it was like, I was still in high school when I wrote that.
Okay, real.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, the lyrics on that shit is basically just about, like, me just smoking a lot of weed and, like, I mean, if you essentially listen to, the first verse, more so it's like, so many lies have been seeking the truth, lately been living like nothing to lose, like, because I was little, like, that's all I was doing, going to school, then it's like, I'm late for work, I'm getting high with my friends, shit like that, it's like, and it got to the point, it's like, all right, dude, like, you gotta
do something.
Get yourself together.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as far as the reason why we chose that one to be the intro, I don't know. It wasn't a lot of thinking that when it just felt.
It just felt right.
Yeah, it felt right more so than anything.
Let's dive into that. Just like you saying that you had to get up because you was like just tired of the way you was living. How much do you attest to that as drive and just fortitude, or you just wanted to make a better situation, and where does that stem from?
It stems from how, I don't know, just my upbringing, man. Like,
family.
Yeah, it's not the best. It wasn't the best circumstance. Still not, but it's a lot of love there.
100.
For sure. So it's like, until I'm able to provide for everybody, I'm always kind of feel like I'm not,
yeah.
I'm just not doing enough, so.
Real. I respect that 100%, so now that adds another layer to the music, that drive is there because you feel the need to, like, provide for the people you care for.
Yeah, for sure.
100%. Fuck with that, my brother. Real shit. Like, that's, why else would you do it? Like, some people have that drive to do it for the fame, some people have the drive to do it for the money, do it for the bitches, but all that shit fades. That shit comes and goes. Like, it matters if you have a solid foundation and something to bounce off of.
That, and it's like, I feel like this is the only thing I'm good at.
100.
So it's like, if I can make money at what I'm good at, be able to build companies and, like, and just build generational wealth off of that.
Real.
Like, that's the greatest thing. It's like, I feel like I'm not really good at nothing else other than this.
I love what you just said, because I've been talking to my significant other about this, like my girlfriend, shout out to her. I've been talking to her about this all the time, generational wealth. That's something that I strive for. That's something that you just dream about, because to have generational wealth means not only are you taken care of, not only the people before you taken care of, but the people after you're taken care of.
Exactly.
The legacy's there. How important is that? Like, do you think about that future? Like, the future a lot?
That's very important. Like, I don't even want to have kids until, like, I have at least 10 million.
I fuck with that. Like, for real. make like, nobody have no worries. Like,
yeah, man, like, that's very important. And it's just like, I look at how, where my family is, and I feel like that's the only thing that wasn't there for everybody to be able to be built off of. So it's like, if I could be the one to do that, why not?
Yeah, why not make a difference? I feel that 100. Let's get into the next song. The next song, Aspen Drive Flows. This was probably by Swagger. So I want to get him in on here because he produced a lot of this. Just know both of y'all. Just I want to get from your perspective the process and going into making this song, and then from his perspective, I want to get, now that we're song number two in to the tape, are you starting to feel a vibe of what you're crafting, or is it still too early in the process to where you have an idea of how this tape's gonna sound?
Well, it's number two, but we recorded that song like mad late.
Okay, this was later in the process.
Yeah, I wrote that song on the Black Cypress tour.
Oh,
yeah, really? while we were in Atlanta, I wrote that song out there. Yeah, I wrote it out there, and then we came back and laid it down like soon as we got back home. So I don't know how Swagger.
Let me rephrase the question then, Swagger. So, since y'all told me before or air, y'all said y'all took a year to create this tape. So when did you get the idea of what style of sound you wanted to have on this tape, and when did you kind of grasp that vibe?
Me, Jose, Caleb had a song real early on, this B4L song. I think that was one of the first songs when I came to Louisiana that I was like, I could probably bump in my car. You know, I was happy about that shit. That was my first encounter with both Caleb, Excella 7th, and Jose. After that, I was just trying to get Jose on a song for the longest. I know he came to my crib and shit. We made Shift. That was the first song we made. I know we're going to talk about that, but it was at that moment I knew shit was just natural, and like the whole co-producing aspect came to it. A lot of these shits have my name on it, but me and Jose like really crafted these together. Like, there's a lot of times I like lack inspiration trying to find like these samples and these sounds, and when Jose brings these ideas, it really like kind of completes that puzzle, you know what I mean? And
true yin and yang
shit, like I said, the whole co-producing aspect, as soon as we made Shift, I knew this shit was gonna work, and we had like this sound that we kind of meshed together pretty well, and from then, man, it kind of came together pretty smoothly.
That's what's up. I take it, okay, so he said, what I grasp from that is, he said he's not from here. He's not from Louisiana.
Yeah.
You're from Louisiana, correct? Yeah. So, being that he has this outside ear, from the South, but from a different region, and then mixed with your Louisiana sound, do you think that kind of helped the symbiotic of this new sound? Because y'all don't sound like BR. I'm gonna keep it a buck. Y'all don't sound like BR.
For sure. One thing that plays a role in that too, like Swagger does, like before, were you doing EDM before hip hop or hip hop before EDM?
Yeah, where I came from, there wasn't a big hip hop scene, so I kind of had to get it on my own, and that's kind of what I was known for around my hometown, Gulf Shores. Shout out 251. But when I came out here, I knew I always wanted to, I always made beats in high school, but it's just hard to. You can make beats all day. It's hard to find artists to rap on.
And facts.
And really grow with. So when I came out here, I knew what I wanted to do. I knew Baton Rouge had a hip-hop scene, but I didn't know what I was about to get myself into. And everything worked out perfect, really. That's like, I knew I wanted to take all this hip-hop shit, and everything came together when I met, you know, all these dudes around here in BR.
100. That's what's up. No, y'all created a wave, like 100%. Y'all have a full collective and a wave out here. And I want to just know, how did that start? Because, like, I can't even continue the rest of the album, because then we're going to get to y'all's features. But I can't continue the rest of the album without talking about the collective y'all have made here. So just talk about that wave that y'all started with you, Caleb, and the whole collective that y'all have made, Jire, everybody.
Everybody been doing that thing for a while. Like, I met all those guys separate. I met Caleb, I want to say in middle school. We met on fucking Twitter. It was him and Zella 7. I met both of them on Twitter because they were like the only guys like around my age like doing music and shit like the same way that I was. And I remember the way me and Caleb got cool actually is like real funny. I tweeted something like it was a while ago. I was like young. I was in like ninth grade. I was like, fuck revolutionary music. And like 2 weeks later, Caleb had tweeted, like, you said, fuck revolutionary, fuck you. And my mixtape gonna be better than yours, faggot. And I'm like, so I hit him up, I text him, I'm like, bro, like, I was like, bro. And shit, we had got cool after that and shit, and that's how me and Caleb got cool. I met T in sixth grade. I was like writing music and shit around that time, but the thing about T Davis around that time, he actually had mixtapes. Like, he was the only guy I knew in sixth grade who had like
full ass tapes.
Yeah. A rapping ass, like, he been a rapping ass nigga. Like,
yeah. Sixth grade with full ass mixtapes. That's shit. Hilarious.
Oh, fuck, who else? DQ, how did I met DQ and Ryan probably around the same. I met DQ, Dave, Ryan, all those guys around the same time. Shit, it's just all just being around people doing music and shit. And
do you think it makes it easier that y'all have known each other for so long, since y'all were like from adolescence to like now?
Well, you got a lot of people in the collective as far as Black Cypress. Didn't really know each other until
recent
sessions. Okay. Yeah. Well, I probably knew of each other, but like didn't really officially meet and shit until the sessions.
Real.
So, but I mean, some of us knew each other. I knew everybody, but I don't think nobody else there knew everybody.
That's interesting, man. That really says a lot about the era we live in, being the social media era. How much do you attest to social media playing a factor into this whole music empire y'all have going on here in BYU?
A big role. That's how I saw it. All those guys. Really? A big role.
I think that's one of the benefits of social media, man. Some of the things that people are always talking about these days is like how social media is a detriment. But like, I met you through social media. I met all of y'all through social media. Like, I wouldn't have heard about that listening session without this, and this is how that came about. So I think that's one of the positives of it.
Yeah, it's definitely some good and bad things, should I say.
It's actually funny because the Swamp Tale shit actually started from like just a tweet on Twitter. I think Caleb just like tagged everybody and said like, let's make a mixtape. And I told him we got the studio and we got that popping like the next week. So that's funny.
And it took, how many weeks did that take? Swamp Tale took, how long did Swamp, probably a month. Swamp Tale took a month.
That tape was hard as fuck.
Yeah, Swamp Tale took
that
a month.
That was really natural. Everything about that was natural. Everybody was just in the studio doing them, collaborating. Nothing was pre-written much. You know?
Nah, nothing was
everybody
pre-written.
Everybody's pushing each other. That's what really, I think that's what makes Fade so even strong.
I remember, like, even if somebody did come with some shit they had pre-wrote, like, they would hear somebody else shit and like, nah, I'm coming back.
Coming back.
Yeah.
So
it was a real creative energy in there.
Competition's like, huge with among the clique.
I think for sure.
How much did that competition push you with Fade?
Shit. I mean, I look at it like I'm competing, but at the same time, man, I feel like I wouldn't be doing this shit. I wouldn't be putting out Fade right now if I didn't feel like I had the best project out of all those guys.
100. Like, talk 100. That talk.
No, just, I mean, that's just in general. Like,
real, no. But that's real. You got to have that confidence in yourself.
For sure, man.
But the music speaks for itself
as
music well.
The music does. I mean, it's not. It's competing, but it's friendly competition.
100.
For sure.
Let's get into Shift. Talk about the writing process with that song. Just talk about the vibe of that song and just the energy of that song.
Man, I want to, shit, so I can tell the story about Shift, man. He probably could tell a little bit better than me.
Shit. Like I said that earlier, but that was the first time, I think. Was that the first time we met each other?
Yeah, the first time.
Came by studio.
The second time I came by.
We saw each other maybe a listening party or something. Or
no, that was the second time.
That was one of our first times meeting, and I didn't have anything prepared. That was all made the same day, if I'm not mistaken. I think we made some tweaks later in the lyrics, maybe. But that was all made in one session, and the
on
beat,
the spot
lyrics. I think he probably wrote that shit all in one day. But that was just like super natural. It was our first time meeting. I didn't have anything beat pre-made.
Yeah, I remember. Like, I came that day. I heard. It was that Nina Simone sample from Baltimore.
Okay.
That's just fucking amazing. I heard that shit. Shit, it was probably like December. It was December of 2016.
Really?
I still remember. Yeah, it was December 2016. It was a Nina Simone sample, and I remember I gave it a swag, and I just started writing. Like, I said, shit, I still got the voice memos from that shit. Like, I could play, shit, I could play that shit for you, bro.
Like, I mean, shit, nigga, you could play it if you...
Shit, I still got the voice memos from it, but I remember, like, just like, when I came in, like, I wrote that shit, and then, like, the next day, I remember I was just at home. I was in my fucking bed, just on my laptop listening to it. I'm like, dog, this shit too fucking hard. So I text Swag. I'm like, bro, I got to come back. I'm trying to tweak the second verse. Because the first verse was saying, yeah, tweak the second one. So we did that, and yeah, man, that's still one of my favorite songs for sure.
That's shit. One of the hardest songs on the tape. That's one of my favorite ones on the tape. And you said a Nina Simone sample. How big are you of an R&B head are you? Because you said Stevie Wonder earlier. I hear all this other music that you like. Just from the names you said, I can tell the R&B head is there to an extent.
For Fade, definitely for the front of like me working on it, I was definitely listening to nothing but R&B. And like, I guess they don't like the term, but neo soul.
Yeah.
Yeah, soul music, shit like that. That's all I was listening to. Like, a lot of D'Angelo Voodoo.
Real.
Classics. That's my fucking favorite album. Black Messiah. I love Black Messiah.
What's your favorite D'Angelo album? Black Voodoo?
Voodoo. Voodoo easily. Voodoo. Real. Yeah, Voodoo easily. But yeah, I was listening to a lot of that. I started listening to a lot of rap around the times of like the Black Cypress sessions. Okay. I'm like, all right, yeah, I gotta get in my bag.
Let's get in the bag, real. So the next song is Rub. Talk about that song and just the vibe of that song and the energy of that song.
Well, that's the skit. That's actually me and my girlfriend. We were just in the bed. I was like, fuck, I need a skit for my album. So I was like, I just started recording. I'm like, let me see if I get something good out of this. So at some point, I started singing. So that's what the skit is. And then she was like, can you rub my stomach? Yeah. So that's what that shit is. Yeah.
It was a fire-ass transition to the album. And the reason why I asked the question like that was because I'm asking from the perspective of somebody who hasn't heard the album, so you can just give them a vibe of why they should go listen to this album.
I got you, man.
How big are skits to you? Like,
I love
for
skits.
Albums.
I love skits.
100.
My favorite skit is the first skit on the intro with Bob. That's Bob talking. That was like the last session that we had for the album. We was just fixing Faith because that was the last song that we had to fix. So me and Caleb was in here and we called Bob. And he was just on one of his rants, and he was like, man, I'm fucking tired of living. that was that whole conversation, literally.
Real?
Like, yeah.
That's what's up. So the next song is one of my it's called Favorite, but it's one of my favorites. It's with Jyra. Talk about this song. Just talk about how y'all linked up and just the vibe of this one.
We did that one on the Black Cypress Show, too.
Okay.
Shit, we was just in the house one morning. We didn't have shit to do. I don't think we had no show that day. We had the studio in the kitchen. Like, literally, we didn't have no show that day or nothing. We was just sitting in the house bored. Ty was fucking just on his headphones making beats. So, fuck, I feel weird telling this story. I popped that. So, it started kicking in. It started kicking it. Like, everybody's just chilling in the fucking house. Literally, like, niggas in a living room watching Atlanta, shit like that.
Yeah.
I popped that. Chilling in the room, fucking came out. I'm like, nigga, let's get the fucking work, nigga. So I
started chopping up a sample.
I
think we were playing around a sample. I think me and Jyra were listening to something. Started chopping shit up, melody.
No, yeah, well, yeah. Him and Jyra was in the kitchen doing some shit, but I don't think it didn't seem like they were coming up with nothing. So I came up in there and I was like, say, I got this fire ass song and I got one verse that wrote to it. I just gotta write another one. So I pulled up the sample and Jyra chopped it. Swarga chopped the shit up. Then
I passed it off to Ty because me and Ty were on some collab shit. That was right after we had a bitch I'm high. We were on the Swamp Tape. We were on our collab shit. So I was like, I might lay down the snare and some hi-hats, and I chopped up the sample, and I passed it off to Ty. I told him to lay down some hard drums, some 808s. I think Jyra wrote some shit to the hook.
That's history. The Black Cypress Tour, educate me a little bit. Where did y'all go on that tour? Like, this sounds like it was just a big-ass adventure. Like, Just we talk say, a little bit about that.
We say tour to probably sound more official, but but it was like 3 days. It was on we Caleb had some dates out at A3C, and he brought us out for all. Stankonia. Yeah, we went to Stankonia. Right. That shit. Yeah, no, the music room. And then we came and we had our own home show, hometown show at the fucking Atomic Pop Shock show. Nice. So 13, yeah, it was like a, cause people, that was around the time we dropped the, well, the mixtape wasn't out yet. Yeah, the mixtape wasn't out yet, but it was out for like just a club third hype. People wanted to see us and shit. Yeah. So we just was like, yeah, let's go do some shows.
And shot the video in Atlanta, Club Third.
How was Atlanta?
That shit was fun. That shit was fun.
Y'all hit the strip club? Y'all, please tell me y'all hit the strip club.
We didn't. We parked outside of a strip club. Yeah, we parked outside of Magic City. We didn't go in, but we parked outside.
Shit, y'all was getting y'all working, so yeah. It don't even fucking matter. But that's ill, bro. So next, wait, just a little backtrack a little bit. How much did influence did Ty have on this project? Just because I see his name, he produced.
Shout out Ty.
Favorite bat.
Ty did this beat.
Yeah, man. Shit, man. I've been wanting to fucking work with Ty since I was in middle school. Like, before the scene that we have now, it was like another scene. It was like guys like Just DJ. I want to make sure I get those guys. They just do. It was guys like Just DJ, Treehead. It was a lot of those guys. Fuck, I'm definitely forgetting some names, but it was a lot of guys just around that time doing their things on a music tip.
Yeah.
And Ty was producing for a lot of those guys. And I was like, man, Ty is amazing. I can't wait to work with him. But he was like charging $300 a beat around that time. When I'm in middle school, I'm like, fuck, I don't know how I'm going to get it to him.
Yeah.
But then I met him. Well, we really met and like connected during the Black Cypher session. So that's how we just built a relationship and just started working.
Ever since then, it's been Gucci.
Yeah, man.
That's what's up. Next song on there is Liquor. That's produced by Swagger and Gnar. Talk about just a little bit about this song.
Shit, man. So I wasn't there when they made this. This was the only beat I wasn't there for.
Really?
I wasn't there when they made this. So he might could tell you more on the production end. But as far as like when I came in, I remember he just had that shit up. It's like, yeah, I got some shit. So I mean. So I was like, all right, man, let me see. So I heard it, and that's where I go on the hook and shit. That's why.
Oh,
I go,
real?
Yeah, that's where I go on the hook. That I don't pass my liquor.
Okay.
So he had the hook, and I just put the verses on there. Yeah.
Real? I didn't. That's funny you say that. I didn't even realize that was you.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Nah.
That's funny. That's shout out to Gnar. He's on Dope Set Collective with me. That's my little producer collective. With Kraken, you got Anyways and Gnar, but he stays on his hip hop shit. We just went back and forth on a beat like we always do. I was playing around with Mike trying to lay down some hook. I thought the shit was pretty fire. I knew I wanted to try to sell it to Blaze, but I knew I had to sell it to him because I was on the hook. But I'm glad he liked it because that's one of my favorite songs.
You call him Blaze? Why? That's your alter ego? What's up? Why?
Blaze was my name. Okay. Was my rap name. I just changed it to Jose Xavier the beginning of this year. Yeah, Blaze my name. Before, yeah, it was Blaze.
Why you changed it?
Blaze, I just felt like I outgrew it because I named the Blaze. That was also Wayne inspired. It was around the time Wayne got out of jail. He had the single Fire Flame Spitter.
Really?
I was like, all right, man, I want to be that. So okay. Wayne, yeah, exactly. You got it.
Real? No, yeah. I'm a Wayne head, so like, nah, yeah. I get 100%. I know exactly that time because when Wayne came out of jail, it was like. Everybody was on the Nicki and Drake. Nicki and Drake right. held up the ship.
They
so
really
it was
did.
Like Wayne. It was time for Wayne to come out and do his thing.
All right.
So I definitely remember that time period. Next song is Back featuring Caleb. Just talk about this song. How this one came about. This is another one of my favorites. I'd say
that's one of my favorites too.
Yeah, I'd say it would be between this one favorite in Shift on my like Shift. Top three of the album.
All right. Shit, man. We're back. Back, I wrote that during the Black Cypher tour too.
Okay, yeah. So this is a lot of this was made during the tour.
Written wise. Yeah, okay. It was that the recording situation out there was shit. So like, if you listen to Favorite on some good headphones, you could just hear all the noise in the background. Like on the hook, you could hear niggas laughing in the kitchen and shit. Like literally, But with Back, that's one of my favorite songs because it's about, well, I just love it just far as like the instrumental. Ty did fucking amazing on it.
Yeah, but that was a fire ass beat for sure.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs also just about like the story from it. It's about when I was younger, like when I was asleep. You ever had, they call it, the scientific term for it is sleep paralysis.
Bro, wait. Yes, I hate this.
What they call it?
Sleep paralysis when you're stuck.
Sleep paralysis.
Yeah, that shit's horrible.
Yeah, when I was a kid, that shit used to happen to me like every single night.
Woo!
So that's exactly what the song is about. It's like, the first verse is, who that riding my back? Don't you know I need sleep? Don't you know I need peace? I've been grinding all week. Who they riding my back? Like, yeah.
Nah, I feel that song a lot more. Yo, that's ill.
Yeah, and like even with the second verse, it's just kind of just playing on like just that, and like is that like the devil really coming to get you? Like Lucy say she got a new feeling, think she about to let the whole crew hit it. She been in and out the past week, so they don't mean much unless you get it. If she wanna dance with the moon lick, give 100 bands and a new whip. Like, just shit like
bars,
that.
Bars,
like,
nigga.
Yeah, man.
Bars. Nah, that's crazy, man. So, I'm just mind blown because, like, I didn't even realize that was about sleep paralysis. Like, it's, for real.
That's what it's about, man. Because that's like the scientific term for it. Some people call it Greta.
Okay, and then they say they got the witch on your back and you got a curse out. Like,
on
your
back,
sleep.
And some people just say it's a devil. Well, shit. Shout out to my friend Kaylin Crockett, cause she was the one that told me that. Cause I remember she was like my best friend in middle school, and I remember I was just telling her about the experiences. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck be going on, like, but I be scared of shit.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's a devil riding your back. So, that shit stuck with me forever. So that's literally what that song about.
100. Well, let's get on to the next song. The next song is Through the Haze. This is featuring the Smooth Cat, so just talking a little bit about this song.
Man, yeah, definitely. Shout out Smooth Cat. Man, Smooth Cat's one of my favorite artists out here.
Yeah.
Like, I fucking love the Breathe album. My favorite song off of that shit is fucking Sunshine. Shit, I'm giving Smooth a fucking major plug.
Yeah, he just gave a huge plug. Yo, shout out Smooth, though.
Yeah, man, I fuck with Smooth. Smooth is, like, one of my favorite people. Like, not artists, too, but just one of my favorite people. Shit, that song just came about naturally. Like, we was just in the studio, just working, and Swagger just started making that beat. Well, I think Swagger might have had that beat already, and then Smooth came by, and we just started writing. Yeah.
That's what's up. And the
one was for you. I knew that beat was for you. That bitch was right for the project.
Real, I got a question for you. For you, then, when you make beats, do you, after it's over and after it's done, do you kind of have an idea of who you want on it, and do you know who sounds perfect on it?
For sure. I know when I got a Jose track, I know if I got Adam Dollar's track, I know if I got a Smooth track, but a lot of these tracks blend, and if I can get a couple people on that, like, I know Smooth could rock on that, and if you listen to that song, there's like an underlying theme, and I think it worked for the time, and it was just an undeniable sound. I knew that they could vibe on it, so it worked out nice.
No, I definitely did. That was a good transition into the final song, which is Cycles.
Yeah, man. Cycles,
man, is no, I keep saying, like, this is my favorite track, but, like, the whole album goes hard. Like, I'm going to keep it a buck with you.
Cycles,
like,
is my favorite song, like, that I ever made.
Real?
Yeah,
okay.
Man. Cycles is my favorite song I ever made. Just because I feel like that's the most honest I've ever been just on a song, like, as far as just talking about just, like, upbringing, like, how my, like, family not really having it all, just shit like that, like, yeah.
That's where you got your shit off on, like,
yeah, man. Cycles is definitely one of my favorite songs off of the album. And
would you say that song was therapeutic in a sense?
It was, like, yeah. And I could say that because it's like, it's uncomfortable, like I remember the first time I played it for my sister, like, cause she know, like,
yeah, she know,
yeah, she know, sister, yeah, you know. So it's like the first time, like, it's easy around, like, friends and shit. It's like, it's just music to them in a way.
Yeah,
like, well, shit, that was one thing too about that song. Like, when I started playing it for friends, I started seeing how it really connected to people. Like, I remember I played it for my friend Jaquai from Shift Hook. I remember I played it for Kwan, and he was like, man, this like, this it wasn't one. Even that version. It was like a voice memo. And Yeah, man. Yeah, it's definitely therapeutic because, like, playing it for people is uncomfortable.
I heard a Diddy quote sometime. He said that, you know, you hit a good chord with the music if it makes you feel just the tad-est a bit uncomfortable, because you know that that person's putting their true, real emotion, yeah, passion, and soul into it. So I can definitely get that vibe from that song, because that's when you finish out the album and you hear that song, it's like, we know who Jose is.
Yeah.
Like, we know what Jose is about. Jose is about his family, trying to put on. It wasn't always easy, but he fighting. And you get that vibe from that's it finishes exactly, out the theme.
And that's exactly what I wanted the album to be like. I could show you the original details of like what I wanted to touch on the album, and you hit it, man. Yeah.
That's my job. I just did my job. 100. Well, awesome, man. I'm glad we got to talk about the album, but this podcast is more than just talking about the music. We want to let your fans know about you, about who Jose is. So now let's move into the rapid fire. And so these are questions. They just gonna be whatever. Just go with everybody. Answer. Let's just rock out. Question number one: are you an ass man or are you a tit man? Keep it a buck.
I love both, man.
You know, you gotta pick one, man. You gotta pick one. Like, in the way I describe it is: would you rather a girl with a voluptuous bottom but no top, or would you like a girl with a voluptuous top but no bottom?
No bottom or kind of bottom.
No bottom, no like bottom. Flat, straight plank on that backside.
Yeah, she gotta have a bottom. Yeah, she gotta have ass for sure.
Oh, Swagger, you're not excluded from this too, my brother. What's up?
I'm an ass man.
Real, that's what's up. Everybody has said that they're an ass. I don't think I've gotten one tit man yet.
Like, yeah.
And even I've asked a girl this. I don't even think she said she was an ass girl. So that everybody likes some booty. So yeah. That's what's up. But okay, so next rapid fire question. You're from Louisiana. Do you prefer crawfish or gumbo?
Shit, gumbo, because it's cleaner.
Okay.
It's just, I don't gotta take a bath after I eat the shit. Yeah.
Yeah, no, crawfish is dirty, but man, that shit's fire. Sometimes.
Yeah, it is. I love crawfish. I'm just, if I had to choose one,
gumbo.
Yeah,
seafood or chicken and sausage.
Seafood.
Real? Okay, interesting.
Seafood is great, man.
Yeah, no, seafood's fire. How you like you get with potato salad or what's up?
You shit. Potato salad.
Should be
potato
rolling.
Potato salad is fire, man.
If you could go on one place to for vacation, anywhere you want to go, where would you go?
For vacation, shit, I don't know what place. Well, no, yes, I do. New York.
Really?
Yeah, New York, man. I know that's not really a vacation place. It's just an energy out there. I went out there one time before. It's just a different type of energy out there. It make you wanna, like, it show you like yeah, it's way more than what you've been seeing at home.
Real. That's what's up. Next rapid fire, and this is usually the last rapid fire before we get into like just your other likes that you like. But if you could paint the picture or finish the script to the Jose Xavier story, however you want it to end, how would you want it to end?
Shit. How do I want it to end? I want it to end like in like a cabin style house. I'm gonna be vegan around that time.
Oh, real?
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna be old. I wanna be old, hopefully. Like,
just an old man on his rocking on his, I wanna have
a shitload of hard drives and like a studio in the house still. A shitload of hard drives and like albums put together.
Yeah.
Fucking generational wealth, man. What we was talking about earlier.
Real, that's what's up. Swag, I want to ask you that question just to paint out your. Well, no, don't answer that question. I'm gonna ask you that at another time. That's not for right now. Sorry, that's good. I'm gonna ask you that on the Swag episode. But like that was a great answer. Like, for real. Why a log cabin? Just out of curiosity.
Why what?
Why like a log cabin? You said a cabin in the woods. You said a.
Oh, I don't know. It's just something about that. Like,
okay, really,
like every time I think about my ending, it's like I see that in the movie.
Really, that's what's up. And you giving up meat? You gonna do it?
Yeah, man. I feel
I don't know.
I feel like that's the only way you can get old.
No, you're right. I definitely need to change my eating habits. But like, man, I love the pork, dog.
I don't know how long I'm gonna. It's
like
probably gonna be a
minute. Much, my dude. But yeah. But nah, it feels that like that's how if we're gonna be serious for a second, like that's how people are prolonging their lives and like their health. Like if I'm gonna keep it a buck, like you gotta eat cleaner because the shit like we're eating this process.
What you doing, man?
Like no, for sure.
Shit, man, I fucking had a drop. I dropped, like, you can ask Swagger. When Swagger met me, I was probably, like, 260 pounds. Like, yeah. Like 260 pounds. Fucking down to, like, 190 now. Like, I fucking had to lose some weight, man.
Nah, I feel that. I used to be a fat kid myself. So, really? Like, I definitely understand that. So, let's get into some of your likes besides music. Talk about TV, movies, sports. What you into, my brother?
I love TV.
What's some of your favorite shows?
My favorite shows. All right. I got a list written down somewhere. I'm gonna try to remember this shit in my brain. Breaking Bad.
Ooh, cool. Walter White, one of the best protagonists / antagonists out there.
Lost.
I've never watched Lost.
Lost is fucking amazing. Really? It's long as shit, but Lost is amazing. Prison Break.
Fire, but like, man, after season 2,
they did a lot.
Yeah, they did a lot.
Fuck, I watched a lot. I watched Dexter. Cold. The Walking Dead.
Okay.
I don't know if I said it down. The Walking Dead. And shit, I know I'm missing somebody.
Those are some cold shows, though.
Yeah, those
some Game of my Thrones top shows.
I want to get into it. I hear a lot of good things about it. Yo, you watch it?
Yeah, Game of Thrones is fire, bro. Game of Thrones is one of those shows that like you cannot miss on Sunday nights. Like if you miss it it'll be spoiled. Like you got to watch it Sundays when it happens.
What is it about?
It's about like so it's this fantasy world. It's about these different families and all just trying to get on top of the Iron Throne. There's a bunch of cutthroat shit. Niggas fucking each other, fucking over their parents, and it's just a bunch of politics basically. Just all trying to get on the throne. So it's some
watch this shit.
With dragons and all kind of crazy shit. Check that shit out. That's just fire, for real. The Walking Dead, you fuck with that show?
My favorite show of all time.
Real, okay. Did you read the comic?
No.
Okay.
I haven't. I'm gonna get into them.
Yeah,
I'm
no, check that out. Them.
I hear a lot of good things about them. This girl that I used to know, she told me, she used to give me the comic. She gave me actually a few of them. And I read a few.
Real, okay.
Yeah, I read a few. I just haven't really delved into it. Yeah.
You watching Fear of the Walking Dead? This is the spinoff show?
I didn't yet. Do they have it on Netflix yet?
No, I don't think so.
I gotta sit down and binge watch this shit. Because I'm not really feeling the spinoff idea. Because I feel like they want to kill off everybody else. Yeah,
what I heard is it takes place like right when the shit breaks out and it's in another part of the world.
But my whole thing is I feel like they want to kill off the whole cast they got now and try to build off a fan base with Fear the Walking Dead.
Real.
So it's like I gotta sit back and binge watch it to see if that shit's really that shit good. Fire. Yeah. I can't just real. Support it.
Okay. You big into movies? Any movies?
Do I have a favorite movie? Man, my favorite movie is probably like Sad as Shit.
What is it, my brother?
Alpha Dog.
I've never seen that movie. What's it about?
What's his name? It's about Jesse James. He was a guy that was on. He was one of the only guys that was like an FBI fugitive. And all right, it was all some drug shit. It was like this fucking guy. He was just like buying drugs and shit, selling drugs. But he was also a user, so he was using a lot of shit. Really? So they'll be fronting him, and then he'll be using not coming with the money. So they got in a fight at his house. So they saw his brother, and they kidnapped his brother. So Justin Timberlake actually stars in it.
I've heard it. Okay, now that you say it's a drug movie and Justin Timberlake, so I've heard of this movie.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake stars in it.
Really?
I don't know if the story was really like that, but Justin Timberlake like really started to love this kid. He even told him that he could go. At a certain point, and then they had to kill him.
Real?
Yeah, that shit.
That shit's hard, real.
It's probably like one of the only movies I could really sit, like, remember anytime somebody asked me about movies.
Real? Yeah. So you're more of a TV guy than a movie?
Wait, a TV show.
TV show, yeah.
Yeah, TV show. I love Atlanta, too. Atlanta
is hard.
Atlanta's fucking great.
I'm not going to even lie to the fans out there. I have not watched the new season. Like, I watched episode one.
I've been slacking.
Yeah,
I've been slacking.
I'm slacking. Like, for
I'm
real.
Slacking too, man. I got to get on it.
I might have to just wait till they all come out and just watch them, because like, Atlanta is one of the best shows out right now.
Yeah, I agree. I fully agree.
Donald's killing it. Man, if you look at just Donald's career path from just music to just writing television, that dude's killing it for sure.
Elevated his whole shit, man.
Do you have any aspirations outside of music? Like, maybe writing, getting into movies, anything like that, television?
Yeah, man, I do. I wanna start a podcast this year.
Real?
Yeah, I'm not trying to. I was about to say, I'm not trying to stop your show.
Nah, bro. There's enough money out here for everybody. Everybody can eat.
I want to start a podcast this year.
What did you want it to be about?
It's called the Swamp. Well, we plan on getting started in like the next few weeks. It's called the Swampcast Podcast. It's starring Swari is going to be the main host on it.
Yeah.
Also with my guy Justin Wazini is his name. Most people know him by Justin though. They're going to be like the main host, and basically it's just like just wanting to interview like different creatives just around like. Based around like just swamp, like Louisiana, like the Baton Rouge area, like things like that. Yeah, man.
That's just it. That's what's up. I fuck with
that. Yeah, man.
100.
Other than that, it's like I definitely want to do movies and shit like that in the future. Yeah.
Big into sports?
No.
Not really.
I can't even lie. No.
100. Anime, comics, anything like that?
Nah.
Even video games.
Nah.
Real. Just like, your TV shows and your music.
Yeah, I'm a real life type of guy.
100. I fuck with that. Well, I think this went well, my brother. I think this went well. Jose, tell them where they can find you at on social media. Tell them where they can get the album. Tell them where they can find Jose Xavier.
Man, everybody, I need you to go stream the album, buy the album.
Facts. Right. Definitely now. Go buy the album.
It's on all
I get it for free.
It's on all platforms. We got it on Apple Music, fucking iTunes, Tidal, Spotify. We got the shit on everything, man. Fuck. You can follow me on if I redo it, could you cut it?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Okay. Shit. Alright, man. So ask me to just do
it. Oh yeah, no. Tell them where they can find you on social media.
Man, you can find me on social media at Jose Xavier JS JOSEXAVIERJS. You can find me on all social medias at that. And man, right now I need everybody to go stream the album, buy that motherfucker.
Yeah,
do
definitely what you gotta do. Purchase that shit.
It's on iTunes, all the streaming platforms. I need everybody to go get it. We put a lot of time into this.
Definitely.
And if you a kid from a motherfucking town like I am, Baton Rouge, didn't come from a lot, you could definitely relate to this shit, and it's great music.
100%.
It's great music.
100%. I definitely agree. It's very relatable. And like you said, it's great music.
Yeah, man. That's what it's all about.
100%. So I can tell the people where they can find you at on social media, my brother. We giving plugs all around today.
Twitter, I'm at Swiger Music, SWIGER Music. Instagram, Swiger _ Music, SWIGER, Swiger like Tiger. Appreciate it.
100. But nah, man, I love everything y'all are doing right now, just like from the music and just everything. Just even in y'all studio right now that we're in, the shit's ill, like the vibe y'all have. I really fuck with everything y'all do.
Man, I want to thank you, man, for putting me on. Putting me on the podcast, man. Oh, I appreciate you, my G.
Thank
I really
you, man.
Like what you
real.
Do. Yeah, I really, yeah.
Blessings. Nah, like I said, we're for the culture, by the culture, and all we're doing is trying to just progress it and sustain it. That's the right word. I gotta always remember the tagline. But like I said, man, y'all make great music. Y'all are doing the right things out here, and we have to give y'all the platform because we love what y'all are doing. But you can find me at Berlin the Don on Instagram, at Berlin the Don on Twitter. Follow the Bros Who Think at Bros Who Think on Twitter. Go rate, review, subscribe to this podcast. We're on iTunes, Apple Music, Stitcher, wherever you find podcasts at. Just rate, review, subscribe. We trying to get that bag, baby. Rate, review, and subscribe. Nah, but for real, thank you to everybody who support the Bros Who Think podcast. Make sure you check out Primetime. Make sure you check out Take the L. We got a lot of YouTube content coming soon, so just be on the lookout, you guys. And just Thank you again to Jose for coming on the show. Thank you to Swagger. I love you guys. I love what y'all are doing. It's amazing.
Man, thank you.
So
man.
Thank you guys. And make sure y'all go buy the album, Fade One. Go buy it. I don't want to hear scream.
Go buy that
go
shit.
Go buy
man.
That shit,
go
man.
Go buy that
yeah,
shit.
Let my nigga can get that bag.
I need some bread, man.
For real,
go buy it, man.
This has been episode 41. We hope you have a great weekend. Peace.